everybody, welcome. Pastor and the First Lady wanted to do something, had the idea of doing something today just to celebrate Dad. Sorry, I'm not going to cry today. Celebrate Dad, and I thought I didn't want to cry, so we're going to do some funny stories because all of you know him as pastor, but outside of here, he was a prankster and did some really, really funny things. First, even when he was little, Nana and Gigi, they were best friends. They did everything together. And my dad, Gigi was pulling in, and my dad got his hand and went like, hit the car, and then laid sprawled out on the ground, acting like she hit him, and just moaning and going about, and Gigi was so upset, but when she found out he was joking, oh my gosh, she was so mad at him. And he had a best friend growing up named Ronnie, and they would always do funny things together. My grandmother was in the choir, and Ronnie and my dad were listening, and Ronnie had these headphones in, listening to a gang or music or something as the transistor
radio,
and my dad tore him out of the thing, so loud music or whatever he was listening to was going on. My grandmother just ran off the stage and grabbed him by his ear. We went to Disney World. It was me, my mom, and my brother Josh, and me, and my dad. And one part was, it was all dark, and it had just the black lights. And you looked in the mirror, and there was a friendly little ghost sitting on your lap. Well, my dad had taken a sweat rag with him, and right when the ghost looked like they were sitting on my mom's lap, he threw that towel at her, and she got so scared because they hit her right at that time. When he was married to Jenna, they had gone camping, and she had fallen asleep, and he found a dead snake, and he got a stick, and he propped its mouth open with a stick and placed it right on her. So the first thing she saw when she woke up was that snake with its mouth open, and she got so mad, I believe she left him there after all that was done. Him and my mom, when they first met, their first movie, as crazy as it is, was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh my.
So him, they like to watch scary movies every now and then. I think that's where I get it. But him and my mom were watching a scary movie about this guy who went around and killed college co-eds with a big knife. And my mom went to sleep, and she went straight to sleep. Well, my dad thought he would be real funny and got this big butcher knife and was just standing right in front of her like this, just waiting. Well, she opened up her eyes and screamed, and it scared him, and he threw the knife and just went flying. He was very competitive when it came to sports or card games or anything. So he was a Pee Wee football coach, and he also coached baseball. And he would get thrown out of the baseball games because he would get into it with the umpires because he just thought that he was just so right. We'd play cards. He would always cheat. He would play over at the governor's house. That was their best friends. And he would hide wild cards under the table. Well, then he would forget about them. And back then, his daughter was young, Amy, and she was playing under the table, and she looked, there was all these wild cards. He just had to win. He would get so upset. And when he'd win, he'd be like, can you be perfect? Can you be perfect? That was his favorite saying. He was just crazy. He would always play volleyball. So on Saturdays, you had 20 people, and we would play from like 11 to about 7 or 8 at night. And I hated being on my dad's team because I always missed that ball. He would always yell at me just because he wanted to win. We went to Arbuckle once. And it was me, mom, and my sister Lindsay. And you go through, and if you don't know what Arbuckle is, you feed the animals in the car. You buy the buckets of feed and you feed them. And there's a big sign and it says, do not feed the zebras. Well, my dad starts rolling down the window and we all, you're not supposed to feed them. He goes, but I just want to pet it. Well, he had the feed in his lap and we were going along and that zebra stuck his full head into that car and was just biting at my dad's crotch. Trying to get the food. And he's laying, his hip is on the gear shift, so my mom can't go. He's getting mad at her thinking she did it on purpose. And I had an accident because I was laughing too hard in the back seat, me and my sister. We had taken my nephew Max to Six Flags. So it was me, my sister Lindsay, and Max, my dad. And me and my sister went and rode the roller coasters. And my dad said he would stick back and just watch Max. Well, Max wanted to go into a bouncing house, but he wouldn't come out of it. And so the guy who runs it says, you're going to have to go in there and get him. Well, every time my dad would make a step in that bouncy house, my nephew would fly and he would go farther in the back. So every time, I mean, it took him forever. And I know he got a little spank spank when all that was done. Pastor was telling me that before my dad got his eye fixed, he was driving him somewhere and he stopped at a stop sign and was looking up at it like it was a stoplight.
Oh, God.
And Pastor said he wasn't sure who was better driving. Who would have been better driving, him or my dad? He was more real worried about that. One of the favorite people that my dad liked to joke and do pranks on was Karen Gover. They were just buds. And they went on a trip once, and my dad was in the front, and he turned off all the vents. And so when Karen got in the front seat, she was hot. She kept on yelling, will you please turn the air on? He's like, it's on full blast. I don't know what's wrong. My dad had turned all his vents off. And so finally she figured it out, and I'm sure yelled at him. And she liked to, just to mess with him, she would put her feet like right on my dad's shoulder in the car just to mess with him. They were always pranking, doing something. When he was younger, he always wanted a motorcycle. I believe he was already married. He always wanted a motorcycle. My grandmother found one real, real cheap. And so he wanted to be a cop growing up. So he was in Eastville College taking a criminal justice class. And police officers come and pull him out of that class and arrest him because that motorcycle was stolen. So I believe his father-in-law had to bail him out of jail. And he was so embarrassed because, was it the Blue Bonnets or something?
The Campfire Girls.
Campfire Girls were touring the jails, and there my dad was. And Pee-wee football, they would do fun things on Fridays like pep rallies. Well, one of them was all the coaches dressed up as women. And so my dad put on full makeup, wig, a dress, I believe, and they did a little routine, and I wish I got that on camera, but afterwards, one of my brothers had a football game. My dad said, well, it's okay, right after we're done here, we'll go up there. Mom's like, nope, you're in full makeup. I think you and Kimmy can just go on home. When I broke my leg, my dad was over at the Govers there playing cards, and I believe he was winning. That's probably why he didn't want to leave. So my sister called and he said, we can just finish this game. Just finish this game. It'll be okay. He was a jokester. He just loved y'all and he loved life and he loved the friends and family. And he would have just been real happy to see everybody here today. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
It gives us peace, and it gives us confidence. those memories that are in the past that I've been, they're like a weight on our necks that keep us from becoming what God created us to be, that keep dragging us into despair. We are the person we are because of the way we edit our memories. Sometimes we have selected memories. My wife uses me as that all the time. I can remember the things I want to remember, and I can't remember the things I don't really care about. That's the way we are. When we care about something, we really remember those things. I'm telling you, there are people here that could sing every word of every song that was written 40 years ago. Or they could name the stats of a ball player that played 20 years ago, but somehow we forget to say thank you to someone who done some good. We forget to remember to reach out to somebody that needs our help. Sometimes an entire nation can have a selected memory. We're in a situation now in this country where it seems like we're trying to fight the Civil War all over, but we have forgotten how that was just split us apart, and so now we're divided again. There are things that we need to remember. There are things we need to forget.
I gotta say a quick story about that. I said ham and it all came to me again. Well, we was at the hospital, David had passed, and I, you know, was in shock, of course. So me and Kimmy said, Pastor, we'll take you home, because I just had to get out of the place. And I said, we'll take you home. So on the way over there, Kimmy got this phone call and said, Mom, such and such want to come over. Do you want to come over? And I went, no, I can't. I just can't. And then she goes, they're bringing Honey Baked Ham. And I went, yes, tell them to come. How awful was I that day? No, it was terrible. You know, I didn't want it to be a sad day, but it's always a sad day when you have to remember stuff. I was just going to tell you a little bit about what the church meant to David and how it started. 62 years ago, Don and Anna Ruth started this ministry so everyone that was disabled had a place to come that they felt okay, felt normal, wouldn't be sneered at, wouldn't be mocked, wouldn't be gawked at. And that was their whole thing they wanted. And so they started this church. Many times they did not have the money to pay the rent, and money would appear in these bushes out here, honest to goodness. And so they knew this was the legacy. When they passed on, I had the pleasure, not so many times did I think so, but I had the pleasure of taking care of both of his parents. It was very humiliating for Pastor Don, I'm sure, at times. But I got to take care of them. And when they passed, we were going to another church. And we didn't know, you know, what we were going to do. And Ruth called up David. She goes, you're going to take that church over. It's what you're going to do. And I went, well, who does she think she is? I went, I am not going to be a pastor's wife. Not with my past, not with my mouth. There is no way. Well, I was a pastor's wife. So, well, thank you, but you love me. I was going to tell you about the first time that David and I met. It was through some friends, Ronnie, his best friend, and Pat. And I said, will you come over? I want you to meet this guy. And I went, I just do not want to meet anybody. I just got out of a really bad relationship. No, come meet him. So I'm sitting there on the couch, and Ronnie comes in. He had just had a perm. He looked like a clown.
on his hair. David walks in, he had this long flippy hair, and that one little eye was all kind of down, and I didn't like how he was dressed. I went, these people hate me. They absolutely hate me. How do they think that that's not my type of man? So we started playing cards, and all that night, can I fix you something to drink? Can I fix you something to drink? Finally, Pat went, would you please let him fix you something to drink? So we hung out, we went and saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think that was the day I fell in love, I don't know. But he was a good guy. And I was over at their house one day, and David went someplace, and Anna Ruth came over and went, darling, come sit down by me. So I sat down on the couch, and she patted my leg. She went, will you please keep on dating my boy? I went, huh? She went, please keep dating David, would you? He really needs somebody good, and you're pretty cute, too. And I went, well, thank you. And she went, I think that y'all would make a good couple. I'm sitting there going, you are loco. But I said, you know, maybe that's from God. Maybe that's it. So we kept dating and dating and dating and dating. And then it just happened. You know, we were best friends, and I think that's how it should be. You start out as friends, and then you fall in love. The second thing I wanted to tell you about was our family. You got yours, mine, and ours. I had two handsome sons. Can't say that for their father, but I had two handsome sons. He had two beautiful daughters. And then when David and I started really liking each other, I got pregnant. And we had Kimmy, so we decided, well, we're going to make this family work. It was total chaos. Every other weekend, I was pulling out my hair. Five kids, and I thought I would go crazy. But somehow or another, we formed a family. And David did not squander one time on spanking them boys if they needed it. I think they got more spanks than the girls did, actually. I think Lindsay got spanked one time because she pee-peed on David's leg. But he was a disciplined father, you know. That was kind of rough at first. I thought, boy, don't be talking to my kids like that. But it worked out okay. He did coach for Pee-wee football. David was such a fair coach that even if it meant losing the game, every child would play. That's just how he felt. He wanted people to feel special.
Amen.
Sometimes I question him, why can't you make me feel that way? Well, you should know I love you. Oh, okay. Thank you. Can you hug me? Maybe in a little while, Chris. I'm tired. I mean, he was crazy. When Edward first started coming around the house, he would call him Andrew. Hey, Andrew, would you help me do this? Hey, Andrew, would you help me? And I'm going, who in the heck is Andrew? He went, Kimmy's boyfriend. I went, try Edward. From then on, he called him Bud. Hey, Bud. Because he knew he didn't want to screw that up because he liked him so much. David loved all the Rocky series. He made us watch them over and over and over again. So we were talking about it so much, one day I had to play it for Dawn. So I played all the Rockies, right in a row, all day long, and Anna Ruth jumped me so bad the next day. That just made him hyper all night. He couldn't even sleep. I don't want that in here anymore. But David loved the Rocky movies, Rambo, anything with Sylvester Stallone. I was beginning to wonder. He loved him so, so much. What today was more or less for me is knowing that David picked up where Dawn and Anna Ruth's vision stopped. So when that happened, the gavel fell down to Pastor Thacker. I praise God that he was here. But it also passed it down to Kimmy and I. Kimmy and I are really the only ones that help with the church. If needed be, I could call my family and they'd come right here. But so the gavel has landed on Kimmy and I. At first, I wanted to stop the church. Not because I didn't love y'all, because it was painful. But we are here to tell you that we're making a commitment to Bartimaeus that we want to keep David's legacy alive.
Amen.
If that means driving the van and picking up people, then that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
If that means doing things we don't want to do sometimes, we're going to do it. I think that's David's legacy. He was a great man. He did a lot of great things for a lot of people that y'all don't even know about. However, he would get embarrassed so easily. David was so quiet and I'm so loud. So one particular time, I got to tell this story. We was on the cruise ship and I was just brought up this way. When you took a shower, you rinsed out your underwear and washed them with soap and you hung them up to dry. I was just brought up that way. Just do it. Well, unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of panties, is what he called them. So every night I would wash them with soap and hang them up. And David would, "Pris, I am so tired of seeing your big girl panties hanging up. You know that man comes in here and changes the bed and stuff and he sees them." I went, "David, they're panties." And I went, "And they're not all that big." He went, "Yes, they are. And you need to quit doing it." And I went, "No, it's fine. The man has seen panties before." We got in this big argument. Little did I know our door was open. The next door neighbor came over. He walks in and looks at me and goes, "I just want to see those big girl panties." And David went, "See, that's why." I saw that man every time on the ship after that. He would wink at me. So I don't know, maybe he liked chubby women. But David got so embarrassed, so easy. I thought, "You need to just quit, lay back, and forget it." He was coaching Pee Wee football one night. Of course, this went on for 18 or 19 years. Our kids were out of school, married with kids by the time he decided to quit. And the Gopher's son, Chris, is a big prankster. So he's going out there, "Guys, this is what you need to do." And Christopher Allen went right up behind him and pulled his shorts down. And thank God they had underwear. He was so mad, he just got tangled up and he was trying to get him up. He went, "Chris, I've never seen him so mad in my life. That is embarrassing." Well, I just praise God you had the underwear panties on. We had so much fun. We really did. When Lindsay first moved down here, we were all sitting around the living room. And Dave and I just snapped at each other. "This is how we do. Oh, that's so dumb." Well, you know, just constant picking on each other. And we were going to go out to eat. All of us were, like five or six of us. And Lindsay went, "This is just fine. I'm going to go put on my pajamas and go to bed." And I went, "Whoa, what's wrong with you?" She went, "I can't stand this fighting." And I went, "Fighting? This is how we show each other we love each other." She just didn't get it at all. But that's just how all my kids are today. We all just smart aleck with each other. And it's crazy. But that's how we get along. We really do. I can't think of that other story Kimmy was going to tell. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Y'all know how David was. He always told jokes up here and always used those arms. And that's how he always did. And when he was trying to, when we were in a fight, there goes those arms. Like, "This is what you do, this," you know. He was loved by so many. And again, I know y'all know this. We donated his organs, and I think probably in the next 6 months we can meet the people that he actually saved their sight. I know he's already saved five people's sight. So David always said, "Do something nice for someone today." And we're still doing that, and his legacy is still here. We may be few people, but I think when we all get things right, God will have more people come in.
Amen.
We got to learn how to love one another and accept one another. And I think we do that. I really do. You know, handicapped, non-handicapped, we all love one another and accept each other and quit putting expectations. We feel like people can't make mistakes. "Well, you did that wrong." No. Just love one another and go through it. And David loved y'all. Let me tell you, he loved y'all more than he did me most of the time. He loved you. He put up with y'all so many times. And Kelly's not even here, so I could point my finger at her. But, you know, she'd call at 3 o'clock in the night, "David, turn on TV. This game show's good." And, "Kelly?" I mean, oh my God. And then she'd call right back. "I'm going to wake you up tomorrow at 12 noon. No, 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 David, no. Oh man, we had some good times. I'll never forget, David got so embarrassed that day that Linda and Larry had that guest come in and John Beatty was still alive, and we had told him, you can't go to the fair, John, we're sorry, because we couldn't change his diaper and stuff. And you know, he's a big tall guy, we could have someone push him, and he's in there going, F this, F that, F you. I mean, the word just laughed, and I was going, shh, we've got visitors, shh, I don't give a I can let David take care of this. He went over there and grabbed him. He was always grabbing somebody. You better shut that up right now, I'm taking you home. I mean, he just constantly, constantly. He loved y'all, though. He really did. I told Pastor, I've often wondered why God would take such a wonderful man that loved this ministry. But that's not for me to ask anymore. I'm done asking. I'm just done. This is the last celebration of his life. It's the last being sad. It's time to move on.
Amen.
That's hard to do for me and Kimmy and all Lindsay and Greg and Josh and Ray. It's hard to do, but that's what David wants. He wants us to move on but keep this church alive.
Amen.
And we depend, not that this is going to get into a Baptist tithe thing, we depend on mostly outside people to donate to this church. There are many, many needs that we have at the church. So word of mouth, I think hopefully Pastor and I are going to set up some places where we can go talk and tell about this church. It's an unusual and a unique church. So I thank y'all for being here today. I thank you for loving my husband. He was my good buddy. We had lots of fun, and that's over now. But life keeps going on, unfortunately. That's what's so hard to understand, why these things have to happen. But this is part of life. And it's not over yet, because we're going to see David one day, and him and Ronnie and another coach, Pee Wee coach, Roger Judkins, passed away yesterday. I'm sure they're up there saying how wonderful they did in every little bowling game they had and stuff. So just know that part of life is death, but we can get through it because why? Because we have God in our lives. So Kimmy and I want to really, really thank y'all for coming. I've made enchiladas. One man wouldn't come because he doesn't like Mexican food. It's David's favorite thing. I'm going to fix it. So we're going to have another song, and then at the end we're going to play Rocky, and then the pastor will pray. We appreciate y'all coming. We appreciate y'all loving my family and praying for my family. Please remember us daily, because it's so hard to be without our little buddy, but he's in a better place. I know when people tell me this, I want to get mad. I go, I know he is, but I miss him. But it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get through it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today to remember one last time, or not one last time, I don't want to say it that way, but to remember as a church one last time the things that that Pastor David meant to us. I'm always going to think of him that way. Always going to remember and hope to, at least in some small way, emulate the love that he showed for his for the people, for your people. Thank you for preserving this church all of these years, for bringing us to this place, and now we set forth to continue the mission that you started here, to be a light. To be a light in the community, to be a place of safety for those who need a place that they can come and they can feel accepted and be a part. But more than that, also so that every person may find their mission that you have given. Because you've given each of us, regardless of our abilities, you've given each of us a mission and a purpose. If we're breathing, if we're taking breath, we have a purpose. And this church exists to make sure that we find it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your provision of the food today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.